Yeah, it does seem like we're hardwired to talk to God, to seek God, to want to be with God. You look at all the different cultures all through history, all the different people groups, all different religions, they include this idea of prayer. It seems also that it sort of separates us from everybody and everything else on the planet. Fish and birds don't pray, trees don't pray, flowers don't pray, insects don't pray, dogs don't even pray. We know cats don't pray because they're demonic. But I mean, hardwired to be with God, and prayer is a big part of our lives. We're going to be in a series of talks trying to sort of, bring it down a bit when it comes to prayer and just what does it look like in our everyday lives. And here's how we're going to start. It's the big idea. You can write in your notes. Prayer gives me the power to do what I can't do by myself. The whole series of talks is going to be framed in that there's a power that comes from prayer that helps me to do all the different things that I can't do myself. And someone in the Bible sort of phrased it this way in a prayer that they prayed. I pray that He, God, will give you the Spirit who will let you know the truth about God and help you understand them so that you'll know Him better and how very great is His power at work in us who believe. This power working in us is the same as the mighty strength which He used when He raised Christ from the dead and seated Him at the right side in the heavenly world. And so the idea is he's really trying to sort of put it over the top. He's saying the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is the same power that we can have when we pray. I mean, if you're going to sort of put it out there a ways and say, well, how powerful is it? Well, it was the power that brought Jesus back to life that prayer gives us access to. And maybe an analogy of how this works, I brought this hose along, and you think about prayer like a hose. The hose connects to a source of water, and then the water flows through the hose, so you can direct it where it needs to go. And it's the same with God. Our prayer is what connects us to our source of power, God, and God's power flows through the prayers. It's not the hose that makes the plants grow. It's not the hose that we need when we're thirsty, although it's important, so like prayer is, but it's the water. It's the water that flows through the hose, and it's the same with our prayers. They're important, but it's the power that flows through the prayers is what we're talking about in this series. Now, here's the thing. Just like if a hose gets kinked, and the water stops. It's not that there isn't a source of water. The water's still there, but the kink in the hose stops it. It's the same with the prayer, like misconceptions, misideas. Write in your notes, we'll start off talking about some misconceptions about prayer. Prayer is not a magic wand. That'll kink it. So here's the idea of magic, because, magic is not just in movies. It's a real thing. People believe in magic, and maybe you do. I do. I believe that there's this idea that there's this force out there. And that you can tap into the force. You've seen all the different movies. Maybe it's a special stone that you get, or there's a wand that you have. And you have to be a special person to be able to wield the magic. It's so powerful. And if you're not chosen, or you're not special, or there isn't something about you, or your family line, or you've been picked somehow out of the universe, and you're the one that can receive the magic, and it doesn't hurt you, and you can direct it somewhere. And that'll really kink your idea of prayer if you feel like you have to be special to pray. Or you have to be chosen somehow to pray. See, magic says there's something about me that allows me to tap into the force, and prayer says there's something about God that allows me. He's the special one, not me. Now here's another one that'll kink the hose. Write this down. Prayer's not a fire extinguisher. So here's what'll kink it right here. Maybe you've seen this before. You go into a building and there's the fire extinguisher. It says break glass only in case of an emergency. So that can be the idea with prayer sometimes, is it's only the really big, big, big emergency stuff does God want me to pray about. It's only the stuff that's huge in my life that God lets me pray about. Of course, the problem there is who gets to decide what's huge and big? How important is it for me to bother God with my prayers? I got this kind of a clip I wanted you to see that gives a good picture of it, so check this out. Can you see how it would kink the hose, though? I mean, it was like, how big does my stuff have to be? Here's the point. What matters to me matters to God. What's big to you is big to him. And it will kink the hose if it's like a fire extinguisher. It's got to be this huge thing. What matters to me matters to God. Now, write another thing down in your notes. Prayer is not a tug of war. So here's the idea on that. Maybe you remember that from school. There's like a big, huge rope, and there's a team on this side, and there's a team on that side. And usually there's a line down the middle. And, you know, you're trying with all of your strength, you know, to pull those guys over the line. You want to win. You know, all your strength, you're trying to win. Get them over here. And here's the idea. I have to win over God for him to answer my prayers. Here's how that shows up in my life. I have to convince God to answer my prayers or hear my prayers because of all the good stuff I've done. I sort of leverage it and say, these are the sacrifices I've made, and these are the things I'm doing, and God, I'm trying really super, super hard. It's like I'm trying to pull God over. I'm trying to convince him, God, please listen to me. Please look how hard I'm trying. And here's the problem with that. What about if I'm having a week where I don't even like myself? How do I pray then? If I'm not, I don't have anything to offer God. I'm not strong. I don't have anything to convince him with. How do you pray then? See, that'll kink the hose. Now, here's the last one, right in your notes. Prayer is not a formal conversation. And I understand there can be like the idea that, you know, we want to bring our best before God. And so how we dress and how we talk. And there are some things in life that are very formal. Maybe you went to a graduation, it was kind of a formal affair, or a wedding. You know, you go to a wedding, it'd be kind of formal, or job interview. You go to a job interview, you dress a certain way, you talk a certain way, those are formal times. If the Queen of England was coming to your house today, it would probably be a formal affair. You'd clean up your house, and, you know, you'd wear certain clothes, you'd talk a certain way, because it'd be formal. But it's not that way with God. Remember, Jesus came as a carpenter. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a job site, but they do not talk very formally there. Jesus came as a carpenter. Here's the principle. You pray like you talk. However you talk, that's how you pray. You don't have to be formal with God. He wasn't formal with us when he came. He came as a carpenter. See, and those are all things we have to be careful with because they'll kink the hose. I mean, the power's there. The water wants to flow. But if you just go like this right here, you can turn that on. There can be as much water as you want. But if you go like this right here, there's no water coming. That will kink the hose. Now, how do you unkink it? Let's look at some things, real simple things. Right in your notes. This is the first one right here. The power of prayer. God shows me what I could never see on my own. In the Bible, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. I will never forget the day that Vern Berg told me that his wife was bedridden. He was the assistant manager where I worked, and he told me his wife was bedridden and that there was a possibility that they would lose their child. The baby wasn't going to be born for a little over a month, and there had been complications, but now the doctor had said she had to stay in bed 24/7. And that there was a good chance that they might lose the child. Now, the context was for about 2 weeks before that, even 3 weeks before that, Vern had been a terror at work, especially towards me. I was new there. I was just starting out. And he was just on my back day after day after day, critical, always pointing out things wrong. I didn't even like going to work because he was just always on me, always on me, always on me, just badgering me and pestering and, you know, putting me down. And finally, I just had completely had it. I had just gotten to that place. Maybe you've been there before. You're like, I don't even care if I lose my job. You know, you ever been there? It's like, I don't even care. I'm like, I am done with this guy. And I was getting ready to march into his office, and I had my hand right on the handle. I was just getting ready to walk in, and I don't even remember the prayer. I'm not sure how it occurred, but I remember the Lord saying, don't do that. I paused for just a second, and he said, instead, go in and tell him you're sorry. And I was like, say what? Me sorry? Don't do that. Go in and tell him you're sorry. So I opened the door. I went in and I sat down. I said, hey, Vern, I just want to stop by for a second and tell you, I'm sorry. I haven't been learning very fast, and I realize I've been making some mistakes, and it's obvious that I'm frustrating you, and that, you know, it must be miserable coming to here. Stuff's just not clicking, and I'm sorry. And he started to tear up. And he said, hey, it's not you. He said, my wife has been told by the doctor that she has to stay in bed. And there's a good chance we might lose our baby. And he said, I am so scared. And I realize now I've been taking it out on you. See, God can show us things and never see on our own. I have a friend that's a marriage and family counselor, and he calls it reframing. God will reframe things for us. I brought a little slide so you can see this. Look at all the different frames that you can put on things, and they all make the picture look different, don't they? See, I was ready to walk into Vern's office and say, you're a bully, and you're picking on me, and I haven't. That was my frame. And I had to pause just for a moment for God to help me understand something I never could have known on my own. And the frame was, when I left that office, he's scared to death that he's going to lose his child. And let me tell you, when you frame someone differently, you think about them and you treat them differently. And God has a lot of different frames that he can reframe with that we could never do if we stop for a moment and just connect with him and pray. Show me how you see it, God. A reframe. Let me show you one other thing, too. I just was thinking about this week. Another way he shows me things is sometimes God will reveal something about the end of a matter, the conclusion. I was at my house the other night. It was late at night, and I'm always surfing through ESPN or something. I mean, it's the same old thing for me, you know, and I'm like going through. And they had the NBA channel on there, and they were re-showing one of the NBA championship basketball games, you know. And I almost watched it. I was like, I'm going to watch that, you know. Then I realized, wait a minute, I already seen that. I mean, I know how that game ends. You know, I'm not going to watch that. I already know how the game ends. And, you know, I'm a Golden State fan. Golden State beat Cleveland. So I was like, you know, I don't need to see it again. I already know what happened. But wouldn't that be so silly if I turned on that game and in the third quarter, Golden State won the game because they were like, you know, they won that game. But if in the third quarter when they were behind, even though I knew the score, I was like starting to get upset and tense. Like, oh, what if they lose? You know, it's like, but I already know the ending. And you know, sometimes God will reveal things about the end for us because it creates faith. Now, I'm not saying he'll always tell you the ending, but I will say this. He'll reveal things about the end. Sometimes God will show you things about how things are going to turn out. So as we journey towards it, we live in it differently. Just like that basketball game, I could have watched it and maybe they fell behind by lots and lots of points. But if I knew they won at the end, it's a different ride for me. Don't think that God is always the big God of surprises. He isn't always trying to surprise us. Sometimes he reveals things to us about how things are going to turn out. He may not say everything, but he will show us different things so we can move through it with confidence and faith, because he will reveal to us what we can't see. What's coming up in your life and you feel like you're completely in the dark? Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God, show me some things so I'll know how to act and what's going on? Number two, write in your notes. God changes my heart to want to do what I don't want to do. These are those times in life where we're completely stuck in, I don't care, I know what I should do, but I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. I'm not going to do it. There's a chapter out of the history of the nation of Israel, and let me read to you what God says to them. They were so angry at all the nations around them. At one point in their history, they hated everybody around them. It's like when you, like everybody in the neighborhood, they hate them all. You know, they don't like anybody. They feel like they've been mistreated. All these different nations around them have ridiculed them, and they've teased them about their religion. It's just like a mess, and Israel hates everybody, and they know they shouldn't, but here's their posture, and maybe you've been there before. You say, I don't even care if it's wrong. I'm not changing. I know what I should do. When is the last time you said this to yourself? I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it. I don't care what happens. How does prayer affect that? Let me read something to you. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you your heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees, and I will be careful, and you will be careful to keep my laws. The emphasis is God saying, I will do it. Now, maybe you've heard this before. God helps those that help themselves. I want to put a comma on that. And he also helps us when we can't help ourselves. When you're completely stuck. I love how I will give you a new heart. I will remove from you your heart of stone. I will put my spirit in you. When I got nothing to offer, when I turned my back even on God and say, no, God, don't even try. I don't even want you to change my heart, God. He still is at work and still willing. See, here's the thing about prayer. God is working in my life even when I don't want him to. Even when I say, I like my heart of stone. There was a missionary guy, a Christian guy, that went to this one island, and he was talking to people on one side of the island, and the sailors had come there and they had introduced guns. So these two tribes on separate sides of the island had got a hold of guns. And so that just increased the warfare up, you know, and now they've got guns. And this one person in this one tribe had been shot. Now, the thing is, they didn't understand that, you know, once these bullets got inside you, you could take them out. This was all new to them. And this missionary came, and he saw that this guy had a bullet underneath the skin, right in his collarbone here, and he could see it in there. It was lodged in there. And he told him, he said, listen, you know, I could take that out for you. I can remove that for you. And this person in this tribe put his hand up, and he said, no. I need this. It makes me strong to hate. And I thought, I understand the problem, because I get there too. I don't want to change. I don't want to be different. I don't want to like them. I don't want to forgive them. I want my hate. I want to be just how I am towards them. They deserve it. And yet God says, he's at work in my life, even when I have a stony heart. That's the power of prayer. Now, the third one, write this in your note. God gives me strength to do what I want to do, but I can't do. So this is a little bit different. This is, I'd like to see it happen. I want to do it in my life. I really desire for it to happen, but I can't do it. It's like I want to stop a bad habit, but I can't stop it. I want to start a good habit, but I can't stop it. I want to overcome temptation. I want to keep my diet finally. I want to get in shape. I want to stop watching so much TV. I want to read the Bible, or whatever it is. It's like I really want these things to happen in my life, but I can't get them to happen. God works at those times. Let me read you a part of the Bible. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, here's the problem with that. The minute I read that, I think to myself, well, that doesn't apply to me then, because I'm not righteous. But here's the good news. Let me read you another part of the Bible. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, no matter who we are. It's not our righteousness that God responds to. It's our relationship with Jesus. It's not like we have to come to God and it's on the basis of how right we are. Here's what right looks like. Jesus, I need you. Here's what a few years ago I was at a gymnasium with some friends or a gym, I guess is a better way to say it, and we're working out and they have the bench press. So that, you know, you have the bench press, you're laying down on a bench, you have the weight, and you bring it down, and up it goes, you know, you're trying to bench press it away. I had some friends there, and we all had different turns we were going to take, you know, and I can't remember how much was on the bar when I was bench pressing, but it was probably 400 or 500 pounds what I normally bench press. And so, I had that, and I got it off the thing, you know, and the guys let go, and I brought it down, and I got it about right here, and I could not move it at all. I mean, it was like about an inch from my chest, ready to cave me in, you know. And you're like, everybody's watching you, so you're trying to have a look on your face, like, I've got this. I'm just taking a quick break. I've got this, you know. And inside, you're going, I'm about to die. You know, and I had it, and I was pushing it. Finally, you know, like at that moment, it's all like going by so quickly and slowly. You're like, man, I got to give it every single thing. I don't care what sounds come out of me. Like, I am going, you know. And you're just like, ah! You know, it doesn't even move. And you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's like, and I have discovered that a lot of times in life, that's how I feel like in a relationship. I want with all my heart, but I don't have the strength. I cannot get myself to go to him and admit that I was wrong and say I was sorry. I want to. Just as bad as I wanted to move that weight. I mean, I am there. It's like, there is no question in my sincerity. I want to be able to do this, and I can't. And sometimes I wonder, God, are you listening? Because I'm not righteous. I'm not good enough to have you look down on me and say, let's answer his prayers, because he's such a good person. All I've got to offer is Jesus. I can't do it. And the Bible says that's righteousness. Sometimes I look just like that. There's a habit I want to break so bad, and it's just like right there, and I want to break it, and I give it everything I have, and I do it again. What I said yesterday, I wouldn't do again. Where do you get the strength? The Bible says that the strength comes from just being able to turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I can't do this without you. I was very grateful that I had a couple of guys on the side that could lift the weight up with me. And it's the picture of how Jesus gets alongside of us when I'm not strong enough. See, prayer is like this hose. It's not the prayer. It's the power that flows through the prayer. And that power sometimes will help me see things I could never see. Sometimes that power will change my heart even when I don't want it changed. And sometimes it'll give me the strength to do something I could never do. Now here's the bottom line, write it in your notes. The more we talk with God, the closer we feel to God. Draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. Can you imagine in our world or your world where you live, if people just sort of de-religionized it, just like take the religion out for a moment, and all they thought about is, it's okay to talk to God and God wants to talk to me. Can you imagine how that would change their life? No church, no religion, none of that stuff, no names, nothing. Just if they just really believed they could talk to God. And they really believe that God would want to talk to them. Can you imagine how that could change things?